text for lesson this hour is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. And the text says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. To read another translation, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. That's obviously part of a longer extended sentence, and we'll come back to that in a moment. So for this hour, we've been looking at some lessons based on the various exhortations in the New Testament regarding our relationship to one another. And so these are practical lessons. I think they're important for us as members of the body of Christ and our relationship to one another, but also in various other relationships. Submitting to one another, and I just have to say, the idea of submitting to others is something that certainly goes directly against some of the basic values and presuppositions and priorities of the culture in which we live. We live in a culture that it's all about stand up for your rights. Get what is yours. Look out for number one. We could go on and on with slogans like that and expressions that I think capture, the spirit of the age. I say it's the spirit of the age, but in reality, it goes back to the Garden of Eden. As long as man has been on this earth, as long as there's been sin in the world, there's been the idea that everyone wants to have things done their own way, and it's difficult to think about putting others first. It also just goes against our natural self-centered inclinations. We desire autonomy and independence, especially in a land of freedom that we are so fond of. We've been thinking about that and really being thankful for the blessings that we have in a country where we have freedom. But there's a price to be paid for premium on freedom and emphasis on it, but I think that we can overlook the importance of accountability if we exercise freedom. The gospel teaches that we are free in Christ, we're free from sin, and we're free from other encumbrances, free of the law. But freedom does not mean that we are to neglect our responsibilities to submit to others. We just don't like others telling us what to do. We don't like the yield signs of life very much. And yet the New Testament emphasizes as one of the central virtues of being disciples of Jesus Christ that we should submit to one another in the fear of Christ. So what does that mean? First of all, let's think about the phrase in the fear of Christ, and that's the way it's translated in the New American Standard and others. It's the idea of reverence. Fear in this case, of course, is the idea of godly fear or reverence. Out of reverence for Christ is the way it's translated in the English Standard Version. And what that is saying is that our attitude toward one another that leads us to be submissive to their desires and needs is that we do it out of reverence for Christ. We don't act out of respect for self. We're not interested in putting self first or out of self-interest, those kinds of things. Nor should we be acting out of fear of retaliation or fear of rejection, and those kinds of motivations. But he says, out of respect for Jesus Christ and his humble, self-emptying example. We could spend a lot of time just studying from Philippians chapter 2, and we've alluded to that many times, and I'll just mention again, go there and read in first several verses of Philippians chapter 2, where he talks about the mind of Christ. The self-emptying example that he has given to us. He is our example. Peter says that we are to see Christ as our example and walk in his steps because he suffered and he did not revile in return. And so That is submissive, that's being submissive. The example of Christ was one of submission when he went to the cross. He could call down legions of angels, and yet he submitted. He said, "Not my will, but yours be done," he said to the Father when he prayed hours before he went to the cross. Everything we see about Christ and what he did when he came to earth, we see that we are learning this important lesson about submission, because that's the Christ-like thing for us to do. And so the idea of submit in the same way that Christ has submitted. The other thing I want us to focus on here, using Ephesians 5 as our text, and there are many other places we could go, but we can stick right here in this passage, is he's emphasizing many relationships that we find ourselves in, and submitting to one another encompasses a lot of different things, a lot of different relationships that we find ourselves in. And yet, in all these relationships, we should have the same mind. We should have the same attitude and disposition of a willingness to yield to the needs of others. And so the passage in Ephesians chapter 5 and on into chapter 6 deals with various relationships that Christians encounter in life. There's a mutuality involved in these relationships. And so the submission that we are called to manifest is reciprocal. In other words, give and take. And so we should submit to our leaders in the relationship that we have, but the leaders also need to submit to the needs of those that they lead. And so in all these relationships, you see that there is a reciprocity that goes in two different directions, and it applies to all of the relationships that we have. So for example, let's talk about the church. And I wanted to notice that when he says in verse 21, "and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ," let's see what precedes that, because that's the end of a rather extended section. Go back to verse 15. He says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. And do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So, talking about dealing with life in general, we are called to, in the walk, the life that we live, we are to take care and exercise wisdom. And then he says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord." He certainly turns his attention here to the worship that we engage in, that our lives as Christians should be a life of praising God. And when we come together and worship assemblies like this, special times, that's just sort of a punctuation mark on what we ought to be doing in all of our life, and that is praising God in the way we live, and serving one another in the way we live. And so we are to be Spirit-filled people, guided by His Word, and worshiping, and see, we speak to one another. We are edifying one another, and even in the hymns that we sing. And then he says, "always giving thanks." He continues this sentence. "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, even to God the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." And be submissive to one another. So how should we live in the days that we have? See, Paul is saying that the way we should live is to live by the will of God, not by foolishness, not by self-will. The very fact that we as Christians submit our will to the will of God suggests that we should have already learned something about being submissive. And so he's talking here about the relationship that we have, the unique relationship that we have as Christians, as members of the body of Christ. The way we treat one another, the way we deal with one another should be in that context. We submit to one another because Christ has submitted to the Father's will in order to redeem us. And we have submitted our lives and our will to the will of the Heavenly Father and His Word. This should be something that should be natural for us. And so we live our lives by the direction and influence of the Spirit, not by fleshly self-gratification, he's saying here. We live our life from a place of gratitude and thankfulness and not from selfish ingratitude. That ought to define who we are as Christians, and should define us the behavior that we have in the Lord's church toward one another. And so he says, be submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ. But it goes beyond that, of course. When we think about our domestic relationship, Paul has a lot to say here. And this is a familiar text. And I think it will well serve us to read through this. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. So there's be submissive. So the submission that he's introduced in verse 21, he's applying it to husband-wife relationship. Be submissive to your own husbands as to the Lord. See, in the fear of Christ. There it is. It appears every time. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Husband, in your headship over your wife, do it in the spirit of Christ. Sacrificial love. That's what kind of headship Christ has demonstrated. That's what husbands do. As the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be the husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Submission? Yes. So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Verse 28, so husbands also ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. Do we see here that when we think about husbands and wives, that there is the lesson of submission that runs all through this? And it's interesting that the apostle goes back and forth from talking about husbands and wives on the one hand and Christ and the church on the other hand. Then they'll go back and talk about husbands and wives and go back and talk about Christ and the church. But which one are you talking about here? Well, he's talking about both of them. He's clearly using the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ as the church being the bride of Christ as an example, as a template, for us to understand more deeply the relationship that husbands and wives ought to have with one another. You know what one way to describe that is? They learn to submit to one another. And in order for a marriage to function as it ought to, both husband and wife need to understand that there's give and take, and neither one can always have it their way. They shouldn't be trying to do that. They should be giving, submitting to the other. And so the wife submits because God arranged marriage in this order. The husband, on the other hand, will honor his wife. He'll sacrifice for her. He'll submit to her needs. He will put her first in his life. He will recognize her value and unique talents that he is unable to match. You see, we can't get away from this husband. We're supposed to submit just as much as our wives are supposed to submit. Because that is the way of Jesus Christ. And in the home, there's also children and parents. Children, obey your parents. What? In the Lord. All of this is defined within the parameters of the relationship we have with the Lord and what the Lord has done. But he says, do this in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Why are children to obey their parents? We say, well, because they're commanded to. Because parents said to do it. Well, that's true. But they obey their parents in a place of respect and honor as to the Lord. And that's what we ought to be teaching our children. This is what the Lord would have us to do. This is what he exemplified. And listen, parents also show respect and love for their children. They seek not to dishearten the child. Not to exasperate them, not to provoke them to anger, but to help them grow inwardly and outwardly. This is submission is all in the family. And for us to have families that function as they ought to, and our homes to be what they ought to be, probably the most important lesson we can learn is to submit to one another. When we do that, we're motivated by that desire to yield to the needs of one another, then things go a lot better. But it's not just church, and not just home, but it's also at work, that submission is important. Let's read on in verse 5. So slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart. Listen, as to Christ. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And with good will render service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. Alright, so I'm calling this at work. You know, he's talking about the relationship between slaves and masters, which was the fundamental social structure of that day and time. This was the world of work back then. This was like going to work, is that the servants, the slaves, the bond servants would serve their masters. They had a responsibility there to submit because of the nature of that relationship. They operated with a servant-master relationship. The principle of submission is easy to see right there, isn't it? We don't have to worry too much. We understand that it's submission when you're a slave, when you're a servant. What the master says goes. But what about in a culture where we get to choose our employer? And we have the freedom to make those choices. Are we no longer bound to be obedient, to submit? Of course we are. That is a principle that applies to us as Christians. And so, listen, we do our best work from a place of honor and respect for our boss. Because these slaves were told to render, not just by eye service, not just when they're watching, but to do what's right. It's not just because the master might catch you not doing it. He says, do it because it's the will of the Lord. It's the will of God. Do it from the heart. And we don't have to be in a slave society to understand that principle. We have to apply that just as much when we're working on our jobs. If we do it as serving the Lord, it is a spiritual divine responsibility that we have. But it goes both ways. So he says, verse 9, masters, you do the same thing for your servants. And give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Employers, then, likewise, remember that their role does not exempt them from principles of justice and fairness. I don't know if you ever worked for an employer that didn't quite understand the principle of justice and fairness. Maybe some of us have. But those are not the good bosses. The good employers are the ones that understand that principle. And that it implies, no matter what your place may be, in the pecking order of things. Good employees make good employers, and vice versa. And that's just a practical lesson I think we can learn, but it's one that's embedded in all these biblical principles here that we are considering here. In all of our relationships in the church and at home and at work, and really in life in general, what would happen if each one of us was always willing to yield and submit to each other? What kind of world would it be? Would it look like what we have? And not just in matters of faith, not talking about matters of faith and conscience. We don't compromise our principles, but certainly in matters of preference, personal preferences, or personal opinions, or certainly when we have opportunities to serve, we should not begrudge those opportunities and feel that we're being put upon. Yes, be ready to submit. Be ready to yield to others. That's the golden rule principle: to do unto others as you'd have them to do unto you. Jesus taught that. That's about submission. And it's a great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself principle, isn't it? They said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, this first is love God with all your being, and second, like it is, love your neighbor what? As yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's the same principle. It's submitting. It's putting others first. Treating others as you would be treated. And going back to Philippians 2 again, where he talks ultimately about the mind of Christ, he's emphasizing there the importance of putting others before self. He says that to the Christians in the church, work at putting others before self and not just looking out for your own personal interests. Philippians 2 verses 3 and 4. Look out for the interests of others. And so, what an important principle is. We just touched on it. You give some illustrations here. This text of Ephesians, I think, shows the breadth of it in one way. But think about this. Think about that occasion when, gathered with his disciples in an upper room, Jesus Christ, the Creator of the universe, taught those disciples what it means to submit. He took up a towel, and he acted out before them what genuine sacrificial service looks like when he washed their feet. And of course, in doing that act of washing the disciples' feet, it of course foreshadowed his approaching death on the cross. Jesus once said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." We need to learn the lesson of submission. Before we can submit to one another in the fear of Christ, we must be willing to submit our lives to God, to yield our will to His, as we have talked about today. So let's think about this as a way to enrich our lives and walk in a closer walk with the Lord, to strive to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And the most important decision that we can ever make is to be sure that we have submitted our will to the will of the Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that we are doing that. And God bless us for our efforts to learn these important lessons. We're going to stand to sing the invitation song now. If there's anyone that we can help in any way, we offer you this opportunity. Let's stand now while we sing together.